I want to speak to you on something that I believe will help you, help every one of us, help those that may be watching this right now as we're live on Facebook. I simply want to bring you to a place of a reunion with God's promises, a reunion with God's promises. I want you to begin to remember some of the promises that God has given you. This world we're living in is twisted. And because of the condition of our world, oftentimes we are overwhelmed, overburdened with the intake that we bring into our life through our eyes and our ears. And we begin to be battered down. I'm giving a foundation here before I preach. Battered down, and we forget the promises. If we don't forget the promises, we do something that is very hurtful to the heart of the Lord. Let me say that again. Very hurtful to the heart of the Lord. And I don't think there's anybody here that would ever want to break God's heart. But we forget to worship Him. We forget to praise Him in the magnitude of what His Word says that we are to praise like. I want to use a scripture today found in Genesis in chapter 35 and 3. I want you to remember the words I just spoke before I preach, and as you're turning to that particular text. Genesis 35 and 3. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and there I will make an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. Take a moment and read that to your own spirit today. Read it for what it means. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and there I will make an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. You see, Bethel, in its true meaning, is called the house of God. And El Bethel, what he used in Genesis in 28, was the effect of that it is the God of the house of God. In other words, in today's modern relationship that we would say, let's go to church and let's worship God. Because that's why we're going to church. Let's praise Him. Let's just magnify His name. Let's remember that this place that we are in today is a place of your starting. It's the place of your beginning of the end. It's the place of vision and the vow. It's the church. It's where you have maybe have first met the Lord, where God maybe have spoke a promise to you in a time of worship or praise or prayer. Maybe in an altar service when you came forward to kneel before God at the altar and God spoke something powerfully into your spirit, acknowledging you as His child. Caring for you as a good father, loving you as you've always wanted to be loved, cherished by Him because you are born again. You have been brought into the family of God by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby you can cry out to God, Abba Father, or Father, Father. You and I have a relationship with the God of creation, the one who took nothing and made everything. the God that spoke everything into existence and called it good. We have a relationship with him, not because we deserved it, but it is because of the unmerited favor, the grace that he gave us, that we have received Jesus Christ by faith. We're saved. We acknowledge Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our King. We acknowledge him as the one who rinsed us by his precious blood of all our sins. We have a relationship with God by his Holy Spirit that indwells within us, walks along our side, and comforts us every day. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just maybe on a Friday night prayer meeting, but every day. I mean, it's a praise to my heart to know that even when we sleep at night, that angels guard over us and protect us and live to watch us. And you know that we are really a university for angels because they don't know the love of God like we do. They don't know what it is to sin. And because of a just God, be forgiven of that sin by him giving his only, the one and only. Didn't have 15 to choose from, the one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Born to a virgin, by the way. Not to a human man's seed put into the womb, but a virgin who had the Holy Spirit overtake her, and God put the seed of his purity in her womb, and Jesus came forth, born in a manger, not as some spectacular Hilton or Marriott, nothing of sort, wrapped in swaddling clothes, that which we use to wrap a baby or at this age, and held by a mother that saw the Savior for the first time. Listen to his whimper, his first cry. Saw the brightness of his eyes before anybody else did. He had witnesses to this birth, probably a donkey or two and a cow, a few sheep. And Joseph, there was witnesses to that birth, but there was greater witnesses. There were angels of glory watching him be born. And they went to the shepherds out in the field and glorified God and let them know that the Savior has been born. Praise his mighty name. How wonderful that is to realize that. Secondly, we come into a place called Bethel, which is a place of worship. It's not a place of meditation. Oh, yes, there is a silent worship. Don't misunderstand me. It's not a place of silence where we meditate and we sit there and we just think about God and then we go home. It is a place of worship. And then there is a place where negative associations will be released from you. The negativity of this world, which is getting greater and greater and greater. There's no such thing as good news on the news. It is a place where we disassociate from the negativity of this world when we come into the place of worship, into the place called church. Where we join together with other people that we love and care for and pray for. We come in together as a family to do one thing. Worship God. To praise him and to acknowledge him and bless him. Fourthly, it is a place of revival of the most pleasant recollections. The recall. Those pleasant memories that you have where God answered prayer. God baptized you with the Holy Ghost of the living God. God healed your body. A bit of wisdom was given into your life. A word of knowledge was spoken into you. Something happened in church that day where you are so thankful for. I can remember the day that I was called into the ministry in a Grange Hall in Watsonville, California. And I was called into the ministry by an evangelist, Brother Mitchell, who was preaching there in a late night service during the week. He stopped his sermon, looked over at me as I sat to the left-hand side of that pulpit in that Grange Hall. No carpets on the floor. A heater blasting in the corner. A spinet piano over on the side. Everything was made of wood, and it smelled of alcohol because the night before we rented it on the church day. And then throughout the week, there were people that would come in there and they would have parties. And we'd have to kind of open the windows to get the smell of the party out. And there he looked. He said, "Son," I thought in my mind, he's not my daddy. He said, "Son, your life is going to change from this day forward." Bam! The calling came into my life. I went to the altar that night, and a good friend of mine that some of you know by the name of Pastor Craig Green, he was the pastor of the church that day. His brother Glenn was sitting over on the other side of the church. His brother Ronnie played the bass. This was a good old-fashioned country church where we shouted victory. We ran the aisles. We praised God with a shout. We praised Him with all the instruments that we had. I came up to that altar that night, and literally Brother Green, Craig Green, came up to me and confirmed the calling in my life. I went out, and the reason I brought this Bible today is I went out and bought a Bible this size. It was a Ryrie Study Bible, black with gold trim, cost me $65. I didn't care how much it cost. It was there and I bought it. And I carried it with me wherever I went. I went into restaurants with it. I went everywhere I went. It was by my side, and I told people about Jesus Christ because I was in love with the one who saved me. I was in love with the one who called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he gave me an old-time anointing of preaching. I didn't know anything about Pentecost, but then he filled me with the Holy Ghost of the living God, and I began to speak in tongues, and something changed my life. I want you to know that I have pleasant recollections of church. Being healed. I have pleasant recollections of church, watching hundreds be saved in services across this world, preaching in Romania and speaking in other areas, watching people come to the Lord. Churches packed out with 300 or more, and they couldn't get in, and they were another 150 outside the building listening in the windows, and altar calls were made, and 60 to over 100 come to the gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved. Pleasant recollections of who Jesus Christ is. My God, I feel like stopping and just worshiping right now because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. You see, Jacob made an agreement with God. And let me take you back in a little history before we get to there at 35 and 3. Genesis 28:16 through 19, Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Sometimes I wonder if people in church don't know that the Lord is in this place. He's here right now. He's here with us. And we have an opportunity, a blessing, an urge to praise and to worship Him and to shout His name out and thank Him for who He is and what He's done. Get rid of the negative associations. You see, He Himself was just coming from a relationship where He had to come back with Esau. He was scared to death of Esau. He supplanted Esau. He did things he shouldn't, and Esau welcomed him. He comes back, and now he's headed for where he needs to go. He was afraid, the Bible said, and how awesome is this place, he says. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I believe today we're at the gate of heaven in church. I believe when we come into the place to worship God, God opens up the brass heavens above every church in America. And hears the praise and the worship of his people and understands that there is a love that's there. So Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put under his head, he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He introduced right there the blessings, the anointing of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be poured on the altar. And that's what God wants to do with our lives when we come to the church and go to the altar. He wants to pour the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives to refresh us. You come in weary, you go home refreshed. What a deal is that? Amen. You come in and you come in wondering and you go home in the knowledge of the Word of God. You come in empty and you go home full. Praise God. You come in wondering about who God is and what God can do. You go home knowing who He is and what He had just done for your spirit. He blesses you and cares for you. He called the name of that place Bethel. But previously, the name of the city was called Luz. Almond Tree. That was the name of the city. Almond Tree, a place of growing. He came to a place of growing and he grew and he called it the house of God. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Follow me. When you're coming in the church, you're coming to the house of God. Even though we're the temple of the Holy Spirit and we have been bought with a price and that nobody else could have paid for that but Jesus. And we are vessels carrying around a treasure in us wherever we go, sharing the word of God. Showing people that there is a God who is alive forevermore. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding in our lives. We have a peace that is knowledgeable. It's not the peace of the world, but it's the peace that Jesus Christ left us. We have a trust in our heart for God. We have a knowledge of who He is in our life. We have to understand how wonderful it is. And in Genesis 20 and 22, it says, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, I will will protect me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I return to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. Then this stone which I have set for a pillar will be the house of God. And from all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth back to you. Listen to me. What he's saying there is, God, I am know who I am now. I know that I was nothing before I met you this way. I am willing to bless you with what little I have. I'm willing to bless you a tenth of what I've got. In other words, I'm willing to bless you and to care for you and to do what you said you're going to do, Lord God, because you're going to go with me wherever I go. Everywhere I go, God's going. Everywhere and everything I do. This vow was made at church. He did it at church. He did it where a place of growing was. He did it where God would hear him. He did it because God manifested himself. I wonder how many times do you know that God manifests himself? I wonder how many times you see God but don't recognize him as God. I wonder how many times the church just does not worship God. They go to church and they go home. They go to church and they go home. They go to church and they go home, but they forget the most important part why we are in church, and that is that we lift up holy hands unto a holy God and we praise him and worship him and acknowledge his name. Amen. Jacob, the church, now hear me, hear this next word, had fallen into spiritual lassitude. Spiritual weariness, spiritual disillusionment. I believe today, without any doubt in my mind, that the church today in America has fallen into this place of lassitude, of weariness and disillusionment, that the church will only worship if there's great bands up front, lights shining and walls changing colors, that the church gets excited about the noise of the band and not the presence of God. The church gets excited about a performance and not the willingness to praise and the presence of God. We forget that while we were there and while we're in church, we are in the presence of God in a way that we are there to worship and to praise Him and to acknowledge His holy name. Let's take keen notice right now on four things I want you to notice, and let me preach a bit if I may. I believe this because I'm starting to feel this in my spirit deeply right now. Are you with me, church? Do you understand what I'm trying to say into your spirit? In your silence right now, I wonder. Number one, Bethel, the house of God, a place of meeting where God meets with you. That's what we must notice in 35 and 3 there, that He's going up to meet with God. Let's go up there and let's make an altar to God. In other words, let's come into church, let's lift up holy hands and let God rest on our praise. Let Him inhabit our praise. Let Him know that we acknowledge Him as the Lord God and Savior of who we are. Bethel, a place of worship, a place of praise, a place of healing, a place of deliverance, a place of joy, a place that where the goodness of God's mercy is shown to everyone, where there is no big I's or little U's, that everyone is on the same plane when they go to church, every from a CEO to somebody that is looking for a job in a city someplace where there's no work. Everyone is on equal ground when they walk into the house of God to praise a living God who gives His Son Jesus Christ to us for free forevermore, because Jesus paid the price that He did not owe. Praise God, He paid the debt that we owed. Amen. He did that. He blesses us. He cares for us. Oh, how He prays for us in Hebrews 7 and 25. The Bible declares that He is forever interceding for us. He's able to save all those who come to God through Him. You've got to go through the gate. You can't jump over the wall. You got to go through the gate, and Jesus is the door. He is the truth and He is the life. No man comes to God lest the Spirit draws him. Are you with me today? No one comes. Secondly, an altar created. Praise and worship. Psalm 104. Let us enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Let's give thanks to Him. I'm wondering if the church forgot how to enter into the doors of the church with thanksgiving and praise. Instead of their drawing in, they're carrying in their woes and their difficulties and their problems, and they get carried in, and no one wants to shout anymore. No one wants to praise anymore. No one wants to do anything. No one dances anymore. No one just wants to just say out loud, "I love the Lord my God forevermore." I'm telling you, church, God is saying to the church in America, come back to Me in praise. Come back to Me in worship. Begin to lift up holy hands again. Make a joyful noise unto Me, because I am the God of your creation. Praise God. Leave that world outside the door. God wants nothing to do with your world of negativity. Amen. Nothing. He wants your heart, 100%. He wants your praise, not your staring up at nothing to Him. What are you doing? I'm praising. Oh, really? Where's the praise? Don't you see it? Where's the thanksgiving? Come on, don't make me move right now. It's right there, can't you see it? No, courts with praise say, I love You, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. When I go into prayer every day, amen, I begin prayer by telling Him how much I love Him, how much I care for Him, how much I am so thankful for this sinner, the greatest of all sinners, I've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't go in there telling him about my problems. He knows my problems. He knows my fears. He knows the things that I'm burdened under. I praise and let him know that I'm there to worship him and to gather together with him and to gather with others in the throne room of grace, whereby I may obtain grace and help in this time of need and mercy. And where I need that mercy, I worship him. Acknowledge him. Praise God. Sometimes I get into it so deep, my dogs are looking at me like, what are you doing? Of course, I don't talk back to them. I'm praising God. So I just keep praising, worshiping. Amen. I remember a friend and I were driving down the road years ago. We just got caught up in the Spirit. It was pouring rain. Caught up in the Spirit. I was driving my station wagon. He was sitting over to the right. He worked with me in the church. Great, great man. And all of a sudden, I found my knees were steering my car. My hands were up in the air. And I look over at him, and his hands are up in the air. We're going down US 1 at 55, 65 miles an hour, praising God in the pouring rain. I said, Bill... He said, what? I said, I better get my hands in the steering wheel. He said, I think so. We began to praise. I remember driving down Highway 156 on the way to Fresno, California with my father-in-law, Louis F. Pagan, driving in the sunroof was open and everything else. And he puts on Shirley Caesar's song, Hold My Mule. Well, I'll tell you right, that's all it took. I was outside. I had my hands outside that window just shouting praise unto God. I looked over at my father-in-law. He was shouting praise unto God. I said, Pastor Louis. He said, what? I said, you got to grab that steering wheel right now. We're going too fast for this. But God, I'm telling you right now, when you get caught up with God, you get caught up with worship. Don't let the negative associations of this world hold you back. Don't be bound by the wires of this world of negativity. Then hold your arms down, shake it off, begin to praise, make a joyful noise unto a God who deserves all praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Psalm 150, if I may read it to you. Praise him in the sanctuary. Everybody look around. Last time I looked, this is defined as a sanctuary. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. In other words, praise him in all the skies about. Praise him. Praise him for his mighty acts. Today I walk perfectly well. I had a bad knee. I got prayed for. It went away. I wasn't able to walk down three steps of an altar to get to the congregation because my knee hurt. I'd have to limp. How did I do that? I did a crazy Irish jig one night for my family, and I threw my knee out and I snapped it right out of place. Couldn't walk for a long time, and if got to where it was okay, I got prayed for and it was gone. Had an ulcer that was checked out by the doctor. Yes, sir, you got an ulcer. I took a barium test. Yes, sir, there it is. Went and got prayed for by my mother-in-law, and the ulcer disappeared. That was 43 years ago. Gone. No ulcer at all. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can go on down the list. I can tell you right now, when I pastored my first church in Salida, California, I was only 29 years old, 30 years old, right around in that area. And I had, when I took a shower, I had to put the rag on the handle that allows the water to come forth so I could wash this shoulder, because this shoulder couldn't go any further than this. I couldn't raise it up further than that. I want you to look at that. Praise God. Look at here. I tell you right now, look, every time I wash that shoulder in the shower, I'm sitting there saying, I'm healed. Praise God. I have no problems with my shoulders. I was prayed for. I've got a lot to praise God for. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Praise God, each and every one of you have got a lot to praise God for. And bigger than all the healings, I am saved. I say it so loud, hell hears me. Praise God. I am saved. I'm sanctified. I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power. And if you know Jesus, so are you. Amen. I got the Word of God indwelling in me. So do you. Praise Him in that and praise Him for His mighty act. Praise Him according to His excellent graciousness. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that have breath, the breath of God, everyone that has breath, if you're breathing in here, you've got breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, at General Assembly, when the Church of God meets every 2 years, the man is passed on now, but for years, 30,000 people, General Assembly. Every General Assembly, you'd look from wherever you were at, and you'd see this man without any shoes on, dancing in front of the platform. The most beautiful spiritual dance. I watched him over and over and over. And I asked one year, I said, why is he dancing? He said, because he was in church and he couldn't walk. And God healed him. And he said, because God has healed me, I'm going to dance before Him. Now, no one else in the General Assembly danced but him. I used to ask that question. Why isn't everybody else joining him? I'm going to tell you right now, because we've become so formal. We might as well wear a dress, what they used to call the formal dress and the tuxedo. We don't want to wrinkle anything. We don't want to dance. We don't want to. People dance before the Lord. What they do is the congregation goes, is that real? Oh, there they go again. I had a young girl over at the Vine when it was the San Lorenzo Church of God, Norma Flores. She was there. She couldn't speak hardly any English at all, but she would all of a sudden start to dance down the aisle and across the aisle. Praise God. She would dance all over the place. Amen. Somebody said to me there one time, you need to stop her. I said, no, you need to start her. You need to join with her and dance and praise God and acknowledge Him. Don't let the negative associations of this world cause you to not dance or praise or worship God. Amen. What does the word praise mean? I'm glad you asked that. It's the word halal. And it means to shine. You know, I'm in church with folks all the time, and if that's shining, I'm never going to get a tan. To shine, to boast. That's what praising does. You boast. Look at the Lord. Look what I'm doing. I'm praising my God. I'm boasting about my God. He's wonderful. He's holy. He's pure. He's kind. He's merciful. He is a blessing. He's given me promises. He has given me things that I know of, and the things of this world are being pulled away in my mind, and I'm remembering the promises of God, what He said to me and what's going to happen in my life. Praise God. Amen. Don't let the devil, which I dislike immensely, and if I may say the word without offending anybody in this world we live in, I hate him. He stinks. He's got bad breath. His feet's got scales on it. He's just ugly. But really, he was the most beautiful angel ever created. But what he does is the descriptive I just gave. He tries to stop you from worshiping. As pastors, we know what we're fighting when we're preaching. We feel it. We see the countenances of people that are giving me across this nation when I preach, and this church and other churches I preach at, giving me the I just sucked a pickle look. Smile. Lift your hands. Dance.
But when I see them on videos, they're out dancing like crazy in the clubs. They're at the whatchamacallits. Where are they at? Where are they at? They're at the football games. Their hands are there. Go, go, go. I'm coming into church. Go, God, go, God, go, God. Amen. The Bible's really clear. The word praise not only means to shine, to boast, but it means to rave. Have you ever seen a rave? I've seen them. Well, let me describe them to you. It's a lot of folks having a lot of fun with a lot of noise, and they get so happy they start carrying each other across the top of each other. They're a rave. They're just shouting victory. They're having a great time. They're listening to some band play and they don't even hear what the music is. They're just there. They're caught up. Oh, how I pray the church wakes up and gets caught up in the Holy Ghost and caught up in the Spirit again and begins to praise and begins to worship and begins to know that God is not pleased with America's worship. He wants her back. Amen.
Amen.
Wants her back. That's why he gave me this message. I said, are you sure, God? Are you sure you want me to preach this? He said, I know you'll preach it. That's why I'm having you to do it.
Amen.
A lot of preachers today, they get a message from God and they're afraid to preach it. I may lose someone. You've lost them already if they're not praising. I would pick up your guitar if I know, but last time I did. No, 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 I won't. I know I won't. I won't. And to listen to what the last part of the definition is. And to celebrate clamorously. Clamorously means, woo! Yeah, 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 yeah! Woo! 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 Yeah, I love God. Woo! Amen. Celebrate clamorously. When your football team wins the game, your baseball team wins the World Series, your basketball team wins the World Series, oh my God. There's clamorous emotion over something that has no lasting value. Over something you're paying so much money to go to the games that you can't even take your whole family anymore. If you do take your whole family, they got this area called the nosebleed. I'm going to tell you right now, it's so far up, you can't even see who the pitcher is. Except for this billboard that says like clamorously, yeah, yay. Billboards are out shining church worship. We need to understand that there is something that to this relationship we have with God. And that something is salvation. That something is deliverance. That something is sanctification. That something is empowerment. That something is being called a child of the living God. That something is saying that I am part of the family of God. And my brother's name is Jesus Christ. That's who he is. And now thirdly, answered prayer. Wow. When prayer gets answered. You know how many phone calls I get? Pastor, thank you for praying. That prayer got answered. Thank you. Praise God. I said, have you prayed? Have you sought him? Have you celebrated before him? Amen. Amen. Have you done this? Have you done this? When I was a very young preacher, you know, I would celebrate all the time. But I got caught up on the celebration on Sunday. And when Monday came, I was just kind of hanging out. I mean, I was always excited. You know, I'm always wired to the hilt. So I'm going all over the place enjoying life. And I go on TV. And Jack Hayford is a great preacher. A phenomenal, renowned speaker. He used to have a TV show. And I would watch his TV show on Monday sometime. And you know, he got on there and he said this, and it stuck with me to this very day.
You know what we forget to do, church? He was silent for a moment. He says, we always praise God for the moment, but we forget to praise him for the yesterday's blessing. Man, I began from that day forward. I praise him for Sunday. I'll do that tomorrow. I praised him for all last week that I was able to touch lives in a service, in a funeral, in a memorial service. Reach out to 50 lives and touch them with the word of Jesus Christ. I was thankful, praise God, to be able to be part of that. Thankful to be able to be part of your lives on Sunday. I praise him for that. I acknowledge him for that. And then when you're not here, I pray this prayer. God, send the hounds of heaven. Find them and get them back to church. Amen. Get them back to church. Get them in, because the reason I say that is because what I'm preaching today. Church is fun. Church isn't boring. It isn't to me anyhow. Now, if it's boring to me, to you, then you need to do two things. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I always do. Here it is. If it's being recorded, I want you to hear it live here. If you are bored here, find another church. Because I want you to be happy. I can't believe he said that. Let me reword that. If you're bored here, there's the door. Find a church that you can be happy in. Amen. Because I'm happy, and I'm not going to allow your boredom to bug me. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm not going to pastor a church of bored people. Ooh. That was the second thing I was saying. Ooh. You're getting rough now. My God, get out that 600 sandpaper. You're down to the 80 grit right now. You're starting to get to where I live. No, I'm trying to tell you, church, I want more than anything in the world for you to shout, to enjoy Jesus, to worship him. You have the freedom in this house to worship. If you want to run the aisles, if you want to jump the chairs, if you want to dance before us, dance before the Lord, and you want to just go ahead and break out in the Spirit, do it. That's what church is all about. It's not centered about me. It's centered on him who saved me, who saved you, and I just happen to have a title called pastor. And by the way, I'd rather be called Dennis, because that's what's on my birth certificate. Amen. Answered prayer. Answered prayer. Oh my God. We could shout forever. How about this? He that begun a work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord. Philippians 1 and 6. Whoa. How can you be bored with that? He's always working in you. He's always adjusting you. And you know what we do? Unconsciously, I'm going to say it so I don't offend anybody, because I haven't yet, is literally this, is unconsciously we say, don't mess with me, God. I'm a little uptight today. I don't want to pray today. I'm too angry to pray. I'm too frustrated to pray. I'm too down and out to pray. I'm too depressed to pray. That's the best time to pray. Praise God. Just sit before God. If that's all you can do is cry, God, he loves that too. He bottles up your tears. Praise God. Believe me, worship him and praise him. Acknowledge him. And the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and 20, he is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. In other words, there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Think about what you want right now. Think about your greatest promise. Think about the depth of where you want God to take you. Think about your darkest valley that you may be in. Think about the highest height you may go to. Think about soaring like an eagle. Think about knowing who God is in your life, and know that he is able, exceedingly abundantly, more than able to do all that you ask or think. And think about Mark, when Jesus said this: whatever you pray, if you believe, you shall have it, if you pray in my name. Yes. Wow. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone close the jumping jack door. Praise God. Hallelujah.
My knee's healed. My knee's healed. I may be 67, but I'm going to tell you right, I can shout with the best of them. Amen. Worship. The church has become silent across America. Too many preachers say this when they're preaching. I thought I was in a Pentecostal church. That hurts me. It breaks my heart when they say it. I understand why they say it, but it breaks my heart. What has happened that we lost the greatest thing that we have, and that is the freedom to praise and to worship in the style that we know? We can clamorously get foolish before the Lord. Amen. Let's have a rave here. Amen. Praise God. Somebody come up here and lift me up and carry me through the auditorium. I don't care. Let's just have a rave. Let's just praise God. Let's honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. He is worthy of praise. He answers prayer. Okay? The fourth one. And I'm closing. Because I believe you understand what I've said. Here's the fourth one. That scripture, 35:3, has these four items in it. The house of God, an altar created, answered prayer, and the one that I love more than all of it. Companionship. Friendship with God. Wow. I love that song that Carrie Hobie sings. I'm not alone. I cry every time I hear it. Because it's a Christian. Because as a Christian, we get find ourselves sometimes very, very, very alone. She's saying, I'm not alone. Companionship. He never leaves us. Even when we tell him, scat, get away, leave me alone, I'm too down. He stands right there by your side, protecting you, caring for you, loving you. Even when you are the most unlovable person in the world, and some of you are like that at times, praise God, hallelujah. Not me, I'm always lovable. Don't say amen, I understand. But I'm telling you right now, hallelujah, I can get unlovable. Never grouchy. But unlovable. Never firm, but I'm unlovable. Nope, I'm always lovable. What am I doing to myself here? God always loves me. No, we all come to that place. But we're not alone. Because He loves us no matter what. Why is that person looking at me like that in the church? So what? You know, so what? They got an attitude. So what? You're not alone. God's not looking at you like that. You see, you got rid of the associations and start to bring back those recollections of the promise that God gave you. And I've asked this to 100 Christians. I'm not going to ask it now. I'm going to state it, but I know how you'd respond. Dang, would you let anybody mess with God's promise in your life? Don't let them mess with you by how they look. Don't let people in church discourage you. Praise Him. Praise Him. I'm tempted to put a big old basket out front saying, put your stuff here that's negative and pick it up on the way back out. Come in happy, joyful, full of the Holy Ghost and power. Thankful that you're saved. Thankful that you're breathing. I'll close with this story. Jacob is no longer now Jacob. He's now Israel. His God strives, struggled with God, and men have prevailed. He has literally beaten men that have prevailed against him, and he struggled against God. So now he's called God strives Israel. Sometimes we feel so good about ourselves, we feel that good. Come on, somebody give me a nod at least. Some of you have heard this story before. I'm going to tell you, though, it touches me every time I talk about it. Leaving my house in San Lorenzo, coming from that cul-de-sac and coming out there to Hesperian Boulevard, I was depressed. Church was funky at that point. People were trying to control the church. I was depressed. I was upset. I'm driving my little Honda that said Vine 1 on the license plate. I had an old beat up Honda, but I felt important, so I put Vine 1 on it. Church was called the Vine, but I put Vine 1, you know what I mean? It was fun doing that, by the way. But I was just depressed. I was angry. I was everything you could possibly be. I was down. And I pulled up to that light right there by the movie theater in the bank there. Take my right to go over to the church, the back way. I was upset. I looked over. A van pulled up next to me. Regular, normal van with glass windows all the way around, but it was full of kids. They were all paraplegic. And this boy, he was a teenager, probably 14, 15 years old. His baseball cap was on crooked. His head couldn't really control well. He looked at me and looked down and smiled. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "So what's wrong with you that you can't smile?" God used that boy to pull me up. I wept all the way to the church, found an altar there, repented and wept before the Lord. That I let the little things of life get me down, and there's this boy, turned, joy in his eyes, and got the biggest smile on his face. And I fell in love with that boy because he tore my depression out of me, tore my anger out of me, tore the loss that I was feeling out of me, and reminded me that there's a God who brings joy unspeakable. And it's ours. Amen.